Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
And now,
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ed, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Man, today's already a roller coaster. It's like the roller coaster of emotions around here. Maybe it's just me. I'm in there, like screaming life takes at Sarah. She's grumpy because she had to work with Patrick Kinahan this morning.
Yeah, pulling a double.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of those days. I'm pretty excited about it. Can be an emotional roller coaster on the show. That's my tease.
For any specific reason, or just because you're bringing home to work with you?
No, that's just the energy I'm bringing.
Okay. We're not expecting something.
No.
You're emotional.
I'm just there.
Okay.
You know, we were having a conversation somewhat about mental health, and its import with David before coming on. And I feel like this is the way that I'm going to deal with my mental health today.
Okay.
By just unleashing it.
Glad I'm here for you.
On a radio show. And of course, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm in a good spot. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Watched some great basketball last night. Had a good morning. Yeah, things are fine. A little tired this morning, but...
But you're wearing a denim jacket? You're in that kind of frame of mind today?
Yes, I am.
What's that? Yo, a Dodgers shirt? Ugh.
It's
boo.
It's a Hideo Nomo shirt.
It's not a Dodgers shirt. It's a Dodgers shirt. That's not Hideo Nomo on the Mets, bro. That's a Dodgers shirt.
What team do you root for again? I'm confused.
The team that's currently, I think, 3-21 in baseball, or 3-18 in baseball. You win one game every series in baseball because you have a pitcher or you have a hitter. Or the other team doesn't have a pitcher that they're rolling out there because it's their fourth guy, or they're doing that weird fake starter thing that they do now. The White Sox have 3 wins on the season. It started a month ago.
Yeah, that's not good.
The Jazz have won more games since the baseball season started.
Would you hold it against all Utahns if while walking down the street today, somebody yells, "You don't live in LA, dude!"
Did you see that the anniversary of that game of me getting heckled was Sunday?
No.
Yep. Went out on the Jake and Ben Twitter account that it was the 12-year anniversary of me getting heckled.
Of you getting heckled at the Rays game.
The Rays-Twins game.
Because you were wearing a White Sox hat.
Because the White Sox had thrown a no-hitter against Detroit.
When they weren't playing.
Or a perfect game.
In the game that you're attending.
Correct. Yep. That's exactly right.
And now Ben has held it against all Floridians. Ever since. He didn't like Sarah at first because of it.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find the person who did it.
You seem all right.
Until I can rule out where you were on April 21st, 2012, and I know you were in Florida, until I could figure out exactly what you were doing, there's a chance you wronged me. Oh, by the way, it was against the, looks like it was against the Mariners. It was against the Mariners. Nah,
but
I can't figure
but
out.
But now I'm just disappointed in you personally that you're wearing a Dodgers shirt. Who are you, PK? Are you a fan of every team in Major League Baseball?
I like the shirt. I like that it has a picture of Hideo Nomo on it, and it says Tornado. And he's got his weird wonky windup that he had.
Hideo Nomo might be the ultimate example of something that I think baseball is particularly notorious for, but you can apply it to basketball too. When something unique hits the scene, unless you got something else, the league will figure it out. He had, like, he was great as a rookie, and the league figured it out. Had this weird windup and delivery, whatever. And he was an average pitcher for the rest of his career.
He was a mid-level, let alone career, but a okay pitcher.
But he was a phenom at the beginning. Everybody's like, oh, look at this. This guy's going to change the league or whatever. And you can actually look into his stats. I did this a long time ago. You can look into his stats that by the second time it started happening, the second time he played the league. Like, you could see it deteriorate where they just – people need to get a look at it. And, you know, it's – It's really an interesting thing. But he was he was a good pitcher. He was fine. I think he threw a perfect game at one point.
Two no-hitters.
Or was it two no-hitters?
Two no-hitters, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he was definitely a Major League Baseball, like, rotational player.
Yeah, but not a star. And that first year that you talked about where he became the Tornado and had the huge Japanese backing. And then, remember, Nike launched a whole campaign around shoes for him? So he had a thing. You know, they bought in quick.
Whereas Shohei is obviously a baller. He's not somebody who came from a foreign league with a wacky gimmick.
Right.
That was going to kind of trick everybody for 10 minutes. He's like, no, I'm
just the best player on the planet.
Seriously, like, really good at this.
Yeah.
Want to pet about it?
Yeah. So, anyway, I like the shirt. I like Hideo.
Man, you know what? If I ever turn to a life of crime, I'm absolutely getting an interpreter.
Okay. Yeah. So it makes total sense.
Because that guy is going down.
Yeah.
Not me. Oh, man, I'm just strolling through life over here. I don't even understand what people are saying.
I don't know what to tell you.
It's that dude right there. Be like Rafael Palmeiro in front of Congress. Do you remember that?
Don't point your finger at Congress, Rafael Palmeiro. And then get caught.
I had heard at the time, what a random place to start the show. But I had heard at the time, you know, what, dozens if not hundreds of interviews with Rafael Palmeiro. And his English was terrific.
Yeah, of course.
Terrific. And then he gets in front of Congress and he's like, I'm.
It's hard for me.
I don't know. I don't speak. I don't know. Did I tell you? Oh, this is a good story. I once went skiing with my buddy growing up, Reza.
Mm-hmm.
Reza, his dad was from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
His dad spoke great English. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, smart guy, smart family. So we're going up. It's snowing. We're at the mouth of Big Cottonwood Canyon. And the person checking for snow tires and chains comes over and he says, you don't have snow tires or chains, and this isn't a four-wheel drive. And Reza's dad goes completely like snow tire,
leans
like
into it.
Completely like just goes no, and the guy finally got so frustrated, he's like, just go forward and turn around, okay? And he's like, all right, zoo, like right up the canyon.
Well, it's a tool.
Language
is a tool, and the lack of language can
be a
tool.
So I'm gonna, in life of crime, I'm gonna move to a foreign country, get a translator. And absolutely play dumb on the language for the whole time. I think it works.
Do whatever you want to do.
You've seen those theories out there, though, that like Shohei's English is impeccable.
100%.
Like absolutely doesn't need a translator.
Yeah. Just hiding behind. Yeah. Good for him.
And how many NBA players come in from foreign countries and have to tackle English and don't use a translator and do just fine?
Just fine. Yeah. I mean, he's been around it long enough that I'm sure his English is much better than
he shares. I wonder, because I'm pretty sure Andrei Kirilenko came to the country knowing very little English, because his English got much better. But I don't know. I'm trying to remember if he ever had an interpreter. He might have at the beginning. I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember early in his career, no.
I don't think so. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've told you. It's still there for Lowry. It's not like a drawback for Lowry, but there are moments where he's like, he makes you re-ask a question.
It's like, his second language.
If you use an idiom or, you know,
right,
something that it's not does not translate literally, he needs a little bit of an explainer. So, but yeah, it makes sense.
And by the way,
I think it's impeccable. I think it's amazing that all these athletes do this.
Oh, I think it's incredible.
I can't believe they do it.
I happen to know in Japan, too, they teach English in all of their schools at a very young age.
I'll be curious. I don't know what the language barrier is in hockey. I'll be curious what that is locally. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of French-speaking Canadians, but I imagine all the French-speaking Canadians also speak English. And then there are a lot of people coming from overseas, a lot of Europeans.
A lot of Eastern Europeans.
Yeah.
Where's Jaromír Jágr from? The Czech Republic, I believe.
Is he?
Because I'm trying to think of the hockey teams that always are good in the Olympics, right? The Czechs win a lot. The Russians win a lot, obviously. And then the Canucks and the Americans.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, where do you want to...
He's Czech. Well, we've
where should we start today?
We've got a handful of options.
We do have a handful of options. It's a good news day today.
We had great NBA games last night, but we can save that. We can dive into Zach Wilson going to the Broncos, which I think was a perfect storm for a lot of people locally.
Did he tweet out, let's ride?
No, he did not. But maybe the only team that local fans would have liked to have seen him go to more was the 49ers. It's just where the other alliance seems most closely aligned.
Well, let's start here, because I think that I think this is really an interesting topic. I don't know if he could have gotten traded to a better situation.
Okay.
And this is coming from somebody who's not a fan of the Donks. Sean Payton has made a living out of salvaging quarterbacks. You're looking funny. Tell me why.
Do you have a long history of these guys? Do we have names of who these guys are? With all due respect, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Well, I mean, you could look at the Teddy Bridgewaters of the world, and you could look at the Jameis Winstons of the world.
Okay,
and
Jameis even had somebody, one good year. You're
even
right.
Somebody like Taysom Hill.
You're right.
But
he figured out a way to use Taysom.
You really don't need to go past anyone else than Drew Brees.
Well, I mean, in a lot of these situations, I want to make sure that we credit these superstar players for being superstar players.
Fine.
You know, Quinn Snyder got a lot of love for how good Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were.
I agree with you.
It's like, you know what? Those guys are pretty good ball players wherever they're playing.
You, Breeze, go throw that touchdown. Yeah, I got it. But remind me where Drew started his career.
Chargers?
The Chargers.
Yeah.
They did. And they moved off him because?
Old 10 kids.
Old 10 kids was coming into the league.
Yeah.
And they looked at Drew Breeze. And they thought, why do I always forget his name? He was only in the league for like a million
Phil
years.
Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. They looked at old Phil coming out of NC State. By the way, Riley Jensen was on this morning. He was Phillip Rivers, one of his coaches at NC State, which is a pretty cool connection. But anyway, old 10 kids coming out of college. The Chargers had Breeze for 2 years, I want to say. We could look that up in his stats. And they said, and they invested a second round pick in him too. And they said, sorry, Drew, you're not good enough, bro. We're moving off you. Moving on out. Goes to New Orleans, goes to the Hall of Fame, or is going to go to the Hall of Fame. And Sean Payton took a chance on a retread quarterback, and it really paid off for him.
Yeah.
And then did it again to a lesser extent with a number of different players. But the guy has a history of saying, okay, well, you didn't get anything out of him.
Maybe I can.
And actually is one of the few coaches that can back that up.
Absolutely. He has a, I don't want to call it a track record, because, yeah, Jameis had a crazy year in New Orleans one time. And you're right, Teddy had some bounce back. But the big one there is Drew Brees. I am curious about Drew Brees' stats. And you know what? I mean, his second season was better than anything Zach Wilson had done.
I'm not saying that Drew's start in the with the Chargers
way,
was he played there for like
he played 5 years there.
He played 5 years
way
there.
Way longer than I'd remember.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and he wasn't terrible. And his fourth season there
was great.
Was really good.
Yeah,
but the Chargers moved off him.
They just felt like they weren't going to get over the hump with him. And you know what? Ironically, he got over the hump and Phil Rivers did not.
Never did. So they were wrong, Ben.
Yeah.
And you know what? Don't believe anything you see with the Jets in the quarterback situation. And I'm not saying that Zach Wilson is going to come in and lighten up the league. I, I have no idea, honestly. But I don't think he could have landed at a better place for that reason. This coach sees things that other coaches do not and then has a history of helping players who a lot of people gave up on.
I know there will be some fans who turn the radio station off after I say this. Russell Wilson was not as bad last year as I think a lot of people think he was.
He wasn't. He was better than he was the year before.
He's actually very good.
No, the problem with Rusty is his personality.
And his contract is so enormous that you can't justify paying him that much.
Right.
You're better to have him go away, take that dead cap, get hurt that way, and start over. But he had 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last year. It's like he was not the only problem in Denver.
No, Rusty's problem was Sean Payton's first thing he did when he got the job was fire Jake Heaps and kick Rusty out of his office and say, no, you're not that anymore. You're a member of the team. And Rusty didn't like it. And Rusty actually probably didn't like it that he was succeeding under Sean Payton, because then he has to go and say, oh, okay, well, this is good for me, which it was, to your point.
His 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions were an improvement over his 16 touchdown, 11 interception performance under Nathaniel Hackett 2 years prior. And we're back to very similar to the numbers he had when he was in Seattle, even though he was aging. And again, the problem is he's 35 and going to be turning 36 and he's undersized. And the year before that, he held onto the ball far too long, which, by the way, was also a problem in Seattle. He has always done that.
He has always done that.
He did lead the league in fourth quarter comebacks last year.
His coach in Denver was, his first year was?
Nate Hackett.
Old Nate.
Oh, big Nate Hackett.
Nate. Zach Wilson's offensive coordinator with the Jets was?
Cool bro, Nate Hackett.
Old Nate.
Yeah, a genius.
And actually, those two traded barbs. You remember that? When Peyton basically called Hackett a brainless moron.
I don't know how anyone could mess this up this bad.
And Aaron Rodgers responded, and there was that whole thing. I would love it. Love it if this were some sort of personal beef.
I still think they're going to draft a quarterback because they have tried to address their quarterback situation a lot. I still think the Broncos are going to draft one coming up this weekend, and it's going to be a real push to how quickly can we replace Zach Wilson.
Maybe,
with all due respect.
But why not? Because Denver's paying Rusty they're in salary cap hell for two, three years. And so they're not going to win. It's not going to matter. You might as well draft a quarterback. Who cares? But talking about Zach, I bet they'll put him in a position to succeed, more so than with the Jets. And then maybe he is like a Teddy Bridgewater, who it didn't work out in Carolina, but he signed a really nice contract in Carolina.
Do you believe, this is a crazy question, do you believe in like cursed franchises?
No.
Because you just look at the Jets, and I tweeted it out last night, like the way the 76ers lost the game, it's just like there was just a curse on your team. To blow a 5-point lead in 20 seconds in the end of a playoff game is so bizarre. And I just like, does just getting away from the Jets save Zach Wilson's career? Because as you said, the one place you didn't want Zach Wilson to land going into the draft was the Jets. And everyone knew that, right? Yeah. Everybody knows that. Don't go there. That is, that's
going
a cursed
to fail.
Zone. Something about it is toxic. You're not going to have success there. So there is something in the sense that, no, is it cursed? No. Is there some voodoo? No, of course not. But there is something that is off, and it's hard to fix the temperature, whatever it is. And when guys leave, they seem to be okay. Whatever it is, it doesn't work there.
So what do those two franchises have in common? The Jets and the Sixers.
What do you see?
Awful ownership that trickles down to an awful front office, which trickles down to losing habits.
It's pretty amazing how consistently that's just the only answer.
It's so true. And you know what? Sometimes awful ownership wins once every blue moon.
Looking at the Chiefs right now.
But for the most part, like, you would have to be a brainless moron to own a franchise, an NFL franchise in New York City, and lose that much.
Yes.
Honestly.
Oh, it's the amazing thing about the Chicago teams bringing this full circle to my White Sox, that the Bulls are okay going 38 and 44 every year because Jerry Reinsdorf just wants to make the play-in tournament, and that's fine for him, and they don't make trades, they don't shake anything up. You're in Chicago. It's one of the great towns. It's got a great basketball history. It's a great basketball town. It's a great sports town. And yeah, you can't win there at all. You can't do anything there. It's just, it's bad ownership.
And it and you know what? The Sixers are good, but I would predict they don't get over the hump with Joel Embiid because of that ownership.
I think that's fair.
And like, I still think it's hilarious that people think the process worked just because it produced Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, right.
They were the worst franchise in the history of basketball for half a decade.
Mm-hmm. Over and over and over. This last 25 games we watched the Jazz, 28 games we watched the Jazz, where Jazz fans were pulling their hair out, writing editorials about how you got, how this is, you're going to lose your fandom.
It was that way for
5 years.
At least.
Five straight seasons. Going 3-22 every 25-game stretch.
That'd be like if you had a sliver, Ben, and you decided to lop off your finger. And then you said, celebrate me. The sliver is gone. I would look at you and I'd say, I don't know, there might have been a better way to do that.
Well, imagine if I laid
you. A bit extreme. But it was that ownership that did that.
Yeah. Rubber stamp.
That did that. Yeah. And then when it was about to turn the corner, they fired the GM that they empowered to do that.
Can you imagine if I had said, all right, Jazz fans, here's the plan right now. This is what I'm hearing. This is what my sources are telling me. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. But that doesn't matter. It's that the year is 2024. And in 2029, I think we're going to get this thing off the ground.
We'll have a player.
I'm being told that the Jazz think that they will have an MVP caliber player 5 years from now, but the next five seasons are going to be 11 to 15 wins every single season.
Historically bad. And by the way, we're gonna
figure it out. The process.
We're gonna boot most of the draft picks. I mean, just completely punt them into the river.
Markel, Jaleel,
even trade up to punt one at number one. And then to add this may be the most egregious part with Philadelphia. And I'm excited. We're going to talk playoffs coming up next. They had the perfect running mate.
They had the guy
for Philadelphia or for Joel Embiid. Yep. They had the guy on their roster. He wanted to stay. And they looked at Jimmy Butler and they said, "I don't think
we got Toby Harris, pal. Hit the road."
I don't think it's it. But wait, you spend a bunch of assets to acquire me, and now you're just going to let me walk out the door for nothing?
You're right, pal. You got that right.
You got that right?
Pack your bags.
Can you imagine?
I heard Miami's nice this time of year. Yeah, it is. It's always nice. This is going to work out really well for me.
And then, so to answer your question and bring this full circle, do I think Philadelphia is cursed? No. No. Do I think the Jets are cursed? No. I think they're absolutely inept from the top down.
Tobias Harris, 10 points last night.
Great game, Toby! Woo!
Big game from Tobias
Harris. Top three stories are next! 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
If you're listening, whoa. Sing it back, whoa.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us a part of your day. Want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Lots of news today, so let's dive right in. Time for the top three stories of the day, kslsports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, last night's NBA playoff games did not disappoint.
Two great games. The third game, the early game, the NBA TV game with Cavs and Magic was not great. 96-86, Cavs take a 2-0 lead.
Shame on me for thinking that Orlando was going to be able to make a basket.
We will see. Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, when they go home, maybe the Cavs don't travel well. Cavs are playing pretty well. Donovan's playing well.
Because they haven't scored 100 points yet in the series.
No, and that's like what Orlando's going to do.
Our defensive prediction was 100% correct. My miscalculation was that they actually are capable of putting the ball in the basket sometimes.
And I was more worried about Donovan's health than is showing through these first two games. He is looking healthy, and he had not looked healthy for the last 2 months of the season. But yes, Orlando simply can't score, but those were not the games. The Philadelphia 76ers...
22 shots to get 23 points?
No, he's not great. Again, that's what... Now, he had 30 in game one, so he's playing better. We will see if that travels. I think that is the big question. I still think that's going to be a longer series. I don't think they're going to get swept, but Orlando's inability to shoot is horrendous. And they've got to address that this offseason. Knicks, with 30 seconds to go... Here, I'll pull up the box score exactly... are trailing with 47 seconds left after a Kyle Lowry free throw. They're trailing 101-96. Jalen Brunson hits a three. I think it was his first three of the game. He had shot very poorly.
Because he was terrible.
He had been really bad all game. Apparently, something you've said, it's really hard to win with tiny guards in the NBA, no matter how good you are in the regular season. It's really hard to win at the next level with a tiny guard. Hits a three with 27 seconds left, 109-100. Immediately, the 76ers should have called a timeout. Nick Nurse says he did. You can look at the video. He did not. He kind of was doing the half, like, my hand's up, my hand's not up.
What a coward.
Kyle Lowry throws a terrible pass to Tyrese Maxey as he's spinning. The ball pops up in the air. Tyrese Maxey catches it, falls to the ground. Again, no timeout. Nick Nurse is kind of thinking about calling it. Tyrese Maxey throws a terrible pass. Hart steals it. Gives it to DiVincenzo, misses the three. Isaiah Hartenstein, rebound. OG Anunoby back to Hartenstein, back to DiVincenzo. Hits the three, and in a matter of, 27 seconds to 13 seconds, so in 14 seconds, the Knicks score 6 points to erase a five-point deficit and end up winning the game 104-101. Unbelievable game.
Well, it's pretty hard to win a game, Ben, when you're punching yourself right in the face and your coach is on the sidelines paralyzed with fear. It's really hard to win when you're doing such things. And can I ask you this? Because NBA pundits, and I'm going to pick on David because I listen to David. I listen to his opinions.
David Locke.
And consider them with great weight. Because David's smart and he knows what he's talking about most of the time. But it doesn't mean I agree with him all the time. But he's been telling me forever that Nick Nurse is a great coach. Is that true?
Well, he looked really good when he had Kawhi Leonard.
And by the way, a team that had been to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that you took a team that had been to the Eastern Conference Finals who had the coach of the year. Remember they fired the coach of the year, Dwayne Casey, right?
Yep.
Sent out a tweet, congratulations, Coach Casey, on your Coach of the Year, after he was fired.
After he was gone, yeah.
You plug in Nick Nurse, you get him Kawhi Leonard.
You have Kyle Lowry, who's one of the smarter basketball players on the planet.
Fred VanVleet, who wasn't getting paid anything at the time and who was punching above his weight big time and coming off the bench.
Pascal was still very good. Yeah, that was a really good roster.
I'm not saying the guy is not like a good coach, but I've been told he's a great coach for a while now. The Raptors moved off him, and Philadelphia couldn't wait to sign him, even though you and I both heard rumors that he wasn't the most popular
person. Yeah.
And then to just freeze like that is crazy.
It was weird. It was
crazy to not know what to do.
Remember Mike Budenholzer did it last year. Now the theory was that it was because his brother had recently died in a car accident, which is very possible.
Right.
That makes more sense than Nick Nurse just being like, I'm not ready to put my hands together for the timeout, when immediately you know you got to call the timeout. Like,
got
you
to.
Have to call the timeout.
The only way you lose the game is by not calling a timeout.
Not getting the ball inbounded. The only way you can lose that game is not getting the ball inbounded. And they didn't get the ball inbounded.
But coaches are scared of criticism. He's scared of, if he calls the timeout, well, somebody's going to be like, you should have just let him flow. What are you doing? Or he freezes in the huddle and draws up the worst inbounds play you've ever seen and it fails or whatever. It gets stolen. Then he gets the blame. He doesn't call a timeout. He can say, well, I was really confident in our guys that they know what to do at the time. And then you're passing the buck onto the guys. Do you know what the right thing to do is or not?
Then an all-time classic last night, a crazy comeback from the Lakers or from the Nuggets. Down 20-plus to the Lakers at home. Lakers were doing everything right. Everybody played well, it felt like, for Los Angeles. LeBron did his thing, 26-12-8, only two turnovers. Anthony Davis was basically perfect through the first three quarters of the game, 32 points, 14 of 19 shooting, 11 rebounds. He was awesome. D'Angelo Russell was on fire, 7 of 11 from 3. Everything you need for the Lakers to win a game. They had a great game plan. I liked having Anthony Davis on Nikola Jokic all night. It made Jokic's life hard. He was good, 27, 20, and 10. Not pretending he wasn't incredible, but it felt like the Lakers game, and it just, the Nuggets are inevitable, and they came back, and Jamal Murray hits the awesome game winner in the baseline as the buzzer expires.
So tell me if this is not the best game to bring up my example with the Lakers. If I'm wrong, tell me. I'll listen. But when was Anthony Davis good?
Oh, yeah, first half. I think he was 11 of 12.
When was D'Angelo Russell good?
5 of 6 in the first half from 3.
When did the Lakers lose the game?
Second half. Late third quarter, fourth quarter.
They have this weird thing where LeBron lets the rest of the team play in the first half. They rack up a bunch of stats, and LeBron goes, oh, okay, I've got my teammates happy. Well, it's LeBron time.
And I will say...
And LeBron, they collapsed in what, the final minute? I mean,
they collapsed late,
when,
and one of the issues was they did collapse when LeBron was off the floor. I will say that goes against your argument.
So that's what I'm saying.
If
this is not the best example, I'm willing to listen to that. But it seems to constantly be there with the Lakers.
No, I think Anthony Davis was like 12 of 14 in the first half and took 5 shots this whole second half of the game. So yes, that part always applies.
And then I was listening to a national show this morning, and they were killing Anthony Davis for being out of shape and running out of gas. And I was like, is that fair? Or did his number just stop getting called?
And it's also, you know what's amazing, is how good a shape Nikola Jokic is in. Well, I know that was always the joke on him. He's out of shape. He doesn't have the perfect body. He never stops running. He plays 41 minutes a game. His decision-making never falls off because he's tired. He's unbelievable. He is so awesome to watch.
Playing at altitude all the time probably doesn't hurt either.
No, I'm sure it wears everyone else out. And he's fine.
But, you know, like there's a reason that, you know, when Lance Armstrong is swapping out his blood, he's swapping it for the blood when he trained on top of Mount Everest. You know what I mean? Like it helps at sea level, too. All right, what's next?
Number 2, Ryan Smith says fan-voted bracket will decide Utah's NHL team name. And this is how Pat McAfee feels about it.
When are we picking a name? When are we picking the damn name?
Actually, we're doing a bracket.
Oh, no. Ryan.
What? Why isn't that a good thing?
Okay, that was a very funny response from the armpit. I thought that was really funny.
Pit letting loose. I love it.
Here's the thing that Pat McAfee can do that not a lot of media members can do. They can boo their billionaire guest for a decision like that not everyone on ESPN would do. So I credit Pat McAfee for that. I thought it was a funny response. Now, those two have a good relationship. You know, Ryan goes on somewhat frequently, it seems like. So clearly they're buddies, and he's been at Jazz games, and they've hung out. They know each other. They're comfortable in that sense. Again, Pat McAfee's real skill there. I understand why he's doing a bracket. After everything that happened with the jersey rebrand and how often he gets tagged on Twitter for how bad of a job he did and how if he had asked fans for 5 minutes, they never would have approved it. So he says, fine, here's your bracket. This is what you're going to do. You get to choose. I don't love it. I've always said just make your decisions and stand behind them. I felt the same way about the jerseys. They should have just kept the yellow jerseys. If he liked them, he owns the team. Do whatever you want. The fans will buy it. Every Jazz game I go to, I see a ton of yellow jerseys. Yeah. Fans bought them, just not the loud ones on Twitter. So pick a name.
And let's go. I couldn't agree more.
I don't understand why he's going with Brackett, because I don't understand why he listens to the bozos that are upset about that sort of thing anyway. They're going to change it in 2 years anyway, and you're not going to stop being a fan because you don't like the yellow. So,
and they're going to hate it.
So have confidence in your decision. Move forward. It's like the referee final minute report. Like, at least let me think that you think you're right.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't apologize for making a bad call in the last 2 minutes that lost us the game. At least let me be mad at you, but at least let me think you think you're right.
It goes back.
Because that's how the system works.
Yeah, it goes back to my argument yesterday. Someone's going to be mad about it regardless.
People complain about everything.
People are going to be mad at you.
Yes.
Fine. The important thing is you brought an NHL team to Utah. That is such a massive legacy-changing win that you've already had by buying the Utah Jazz, but this is a all-time legacy maker as a great titan in sports in the state of Utah. I don't care about pleasing the fans with the name or the jersey, in all honesty. I just don't. He does. He does.
I'm looking at the logos and the names right now. We have it up at kslsports.com. Like, half of these, if not more, would be just fine. Would be great. Like, look at what they came up for the Outlaws, Ben.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's great.
I could get behind that. You got to do the branding right for the Outlaws because you got to be careful, but you can make it work.
People that have the Yetis, I mean, it looks fine, you know? And even some that I don't particularly like would be fine. And then we buy the sweater and we move on with our lives.
Also, can we just talk? There's just a ton of bad names. There's just a ton of bad names that you only care about when you think about the process of them being named. But, like, the Wild is a boring name. It's not a good name in sports. The Stars, the Jets, the Flames.
I kind of like the Flames.
The Ducks. Here's the thing. You're right. Whatever Utah names themselves, people are going to like on the outside. But when you're too close to it, the Kings, it's a bad name. They're not that exciting. They're not that inventive. There are good ones. The Golden Knights is a bad name. It's a really bad name. But nobody cares, right? Like, it's about the team.
The fans certainly don't.
It's just about go have a good team. Yeah, have a fun team.
I totally agree. Something so subjective as this, you know?
Yeah.
This is one part where I think you could, you know, be selfish as an owner.
Right.
Like Larry Miller was with the Bees. When he bought the Bees, they were called the?
Trappers?
Stingers.
Stingers.
They were called the Stingers. But Larry grew up
with. Did the Trappers go away and then the Stingers came back?
Well, the Trappers went away.
Then, for a few years, though.
It was for a few years, but the Trappers were only single A. So the Trappers went away,
okay,
and then they brought in a triple A team, which was originally called the Buzz. Then they were sued by Georgia Tech University for some reason and switched to the Stingers.
That's right.
They were probably sued by Georgia Tech because I think they sold the rights to Major League 3, which might be the worst movie ever, but they're the Buzz in Major League 3, if you've ever seen that movie. So then they switched to the Stingers. And then Larry bought the team and switched them to the Bees. And why the Buzz was a violation for Georgia Tech and the Bees are not, I have no idea. But Larry was nostalgic about the Bees that were here back in the whatever it was. They were the farm team for the Giants, I think.
Yeah.
And so he was nostalgic about that. So he's like, I'm changing the name and I'm going to do it for this because I like it. And I wouldn't blame Ryan if he did that.
The one thing
That's what I do.
Don't name it after yourself. That's what Robert Johnson did with
the Bobcats.
The
Bobcats, Bob's Cats, yeah.
He named them after himself. Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Everything else is fine. Everything else is fine.
You know what I'd do if I were him? The Utah Qualtrics.
Sure, whatever. Go the Cougars, whatever.
Because then you kill two birds with one stone, the Qualtrics, because that's tremendous marketing.
Yeah, you don't even need to buy the
No, that's
patch.
The name of the team.
It comes with it.
Deal with it. Next.
Number three, BYU Hoops lands a big commit.
Brody Kozlowski, Ben, who was initially committed to USC to go play for Andy Enfield.
Yeah.
But then LeBron got him fired, basically. And now Brody was kind of in the wind.
Didn't stay with Mus.
He lands at BYU, which he basically had passed on to go to USC. So now new coaching staff, everything at BYU. Brody staying close to home.
Yep. Good for him. BYU legacy family. It's a good get for BYU. It was kind of a big loss for Mark Pope to not get
him.
It
was a loss for Mark Pope for sure.
So to get him back is a good start. And, you know, as much as BYU has lost this offseason, you got to start having some young players to build around. You lose Colin Chandler, you get Kozlowski. Fine.
Yeah, if his mother is on the television broadcast, you probably should land
you should
that
get
guy.
Him.
You probably should get him. You got a bit of an advantage. But anyway, congratulations to that whole family.
Yeah,
that's great.
Absolutely. Sure, they're happy to have him home.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more next, including a kind of a wacky moment from Major League Baseball. We'll get to that straight ahead. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You don't sense the urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Mann, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our 50th segment is brought to you by our friends at Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Also, Win Ticket Wednesday, your chance to win big every week on the station. This week, tomorrow, in fact, you can win tickets to see Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. All right, Ben, we have some good sound today. Set this up for us.
Everyone likes a good baseball ejection, right? We like an umpire fight, manager fight, George Brett storming out of the dugout because of the pine tar, whatever, just players, whoever. But yesterday, five pitches into the game between the Yankees and the Oakland Athletics, Aaron Boone and who's this guy? Wendell Stett, the home plate umpire, got into it because in the opening pitch, Carlos Rodon, the pitcher for the Yankees, hit the leadoff batter. but it was like kind of a weird spot, hit him on the foot. You couldn't tell if it bounced off the dirt or not, so they gave him first base.
Okay.
So it was hit by a pitch. So Boone was already arguing about whether the guy got hit by the pitch or not.
All right.
And Wendelstedt, the umpire, says, "That's it, Aaron. Like, no more. I'm not going to listen to you say another word about the game. And do I want to reveal what happened before? Okay, we'll play the sound now. But that's the setup here.
All right.
Is the first base umpire you saw making
that
call?
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Aaron, we're done. Well,
there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
You're gone.
Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
So what's amazing about this is there's a great shot of Aaron Boone standing. He's kind of at the top of the stairway, you know, in between the gates. And you can see the home plate umpire. You can see Aaron Boone, and you can see some bozo in a blue shirt sitting right above the dugout who yells something that Wendelstedt hears. And immediately he tosses Aaron Boone out of the game because of a fan heckling, thinking that Aaron Boone had just kept going at him. It was hilarious. And to have the actual visual proof that, yeah, absolutely, this fan in this blue shirt yelled it. Aaron Boone, you can tell, doesn't move his mouth at all and gets tossed. Anyways, great piece of audio. And then, yeah, the microphone catching all of that on the actual broadcast. How unique is that? We need more of it.
They definitely turned it off after that because he starts saying more explicit words
pretty
than
profane.
Even then.
Yeah.
Man, umpires / referees are just the worst humans,
the worst.
Aren't they?
It's got to be the worst people.
Just the worst. How dare you?
What's the worst?
Just fine.
Who is it? Are umpires worse than NBA refs?
No.
Because, like, you know, there's Ed Hockley and there's a couple of not infamous but kind of notorious NFL umps, refs, whatever.
There really isn't. He's the only one.
Yeah, right.
Can
and
ever
it's only
name.
Because you he's can see his muscles when he does a
muscly. And now his kid's in there, right?
Yeah.
And so we know two NFL refs, and that's it.
Which is great, by the way. And that doesn't mean they always do a good job. Obviously, they don't. But they're pretty anonymous. The NBA and Major League Baseball have such infamous referees, which is the complete opposite of what the referee is supposed to do.
Well. In basketball, certainly, referees have the most sway.
Yes.
I mean, they have the most impact on the game, whether they do their job appropriately or not. I mean, in baseball, if the guy catches it, you're out.
But,
you know, there's close calls, right, at bags and plates and things like that, an opportunity to affect it. For the most part, though, like, how many outs in baseball are cut and dry? I'd say, like, 80%
of them. Yeah, 80%.
Maybe more.
At least, yeah.
At least.
Now, you can change a strike zone, but usually the strike zone, once it changes, kind of stays consistent through the game.
Right.
Like, well, this ref's calling it tight or ump's calling it tight, or it's kind of a loose strike zone. Now, there are guys like Angel Hernandez who are just bad at their jobs. Angel Hernandez is notoriously an awful ump, doesn't have anything to do with this story, but is one of the Major League Baseball umps that we know is just bad at his job.
Yeah.
Is always bad at his job, super controversial, and the league, for some reason, keeps going back to him.
How many, like, balls and strikes are not even close, too. The vast majority of them. Because you're thinking of the batter swings if the ball is in the strike zone most of the time. That's kind of the point. Called strikes, you know, those sorts of things. Called strikeouts. They actually don't happen that often, if you think about it. In the NBA, there's a subjective call every time down the floor. Whether you make it or not, there is some subjective thing that is happening that you have to make a decision about that dramatically impacts the game on every single possession.
Joel Embiid whined about it last night after the game. He said Tyrese Maxey got fouled. Nick Nurse whined about it. The Philadelphia 76ers are submitting a challenge to the NBA about how the refs have performed over the first two games. And then after the game, Darvin Ham was complaining about the Lakers not getting calls, which is laughable to everybody else in the NBA because they shot 500 more free throws than any other team in the NBA this season. So you're right. The NBA refs have a much bigger impact than anywhere else.
And so it bugs me when we know who they are because they're these quasi-celebrities because they have so much impact. And now your ego is something that's going to impact the game? Like, that's lame.
Yep.
I think there are so many people on a refereeing crew in football it keeps people honest in a weird way. Does that make any sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Because if one line judge isn't calling it, the other one probably is, or the lead official, and there's all this put your heads together on every single call that's made. Whereas in the NBA, who is it now, and Ben, I should know this right off the top of my head, who absolutely can't stand Chris Paul?
Tony Brothers. Yeah.
That is, and listen, I do not cheer for Chris Paul under any circumstance, and I would get why referees find him obnoxious, but that should never be a thing. That should never be a thing where a topic on radio is, does Chris Paul get thrown out tonight because Tony Brothers is officiating? Or, hey, Chris Paul's going to lose because his record is like 1-55 when Tony Brother officiates.
Right.
And it's like, that's corruption. That
should not be a part of it.
That shouldn't be a thing.
100%. That should, every game should be a blank slate for referees. Every single game.
Like
and
it would
and
be
it's not.
If you were an NFL official and had it out for star quarterback, it would be next to impossible to be biased because somebody else on the crew is making the call. If it's a late hit or something like that, it would be hard in the NFL. Major League Baseball, the umpiring is just not all that consequential. And I know that they have the rep for managers, you know, bumping chests with the umpires and stuff like that. But the umpiring doesn't actually affect the game that much outside of balls and strikes. And as you say, you can alter it, but you're pretty much consistent with everybody. And it doesn't often come down to the called strike.
No. And the, you know, call it the bag, because there's a replay now, you can fix that. You know, the Galarraga missing the perfect game at first base, a challenge fixes that now. So you're right. It's even less consequential now than it used to be. There are examples of it, but the NBA.
The NBA is the worst.
There's so many bad calls.
Yep. And notoriously bad. Bad officials.
Yeah.
Yep. Kane Fitzgerald was in the... Is he still in the league?
I think so, yeah.
Man. All right, stay tuned. We'll have more next. Alex Keery will join the show at 11:30 as Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.